Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, all primary school students and fifth years will return to classrooms next Monday as planned. The Department of Education has written to schools this afternoon, confirming that the next phase of planned reopening will go ahead. The government is prepared to take action on insurance companies if they don't reduce costs as a result of new award guidelines. The government's been urged to act on what's been described as a major backlog in gynaecological appointments. Donegal is said to be one of the worst affected areas. And Donegal County Council is urging people to have their say on a regeneration strategy and action plan for Dunloe Town Centre. The consultation has opened today. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. All primary school students and fifth years in secondary school will return to classrooms next Monday as planned. The Department of Education has written to schools this afternoon confirming that the next phase of planned reopening will go ahead. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
The government was cautiously optimistic the first wave of school reopenings would go well, and today the HSE and Department of Health sanctioned the further reopening next week. It means all primary school students will be back in the classroom next Monday, with fifth years in second level also returning. Public health officials have looked at the data over the past week and are satisfied the next wave of reopening can proceed next Monday, telling schools so in letters that went out this afternoon. Figures on the number of cases in school settings are due to be released in the coming days. There will be a longer gap until the rest of secondary school students return, with health officials set to monitor data over the Easter break before deciding if an April 12th return date can proceed.
Well, 1,844 children tested positive for COVID-19 in the space of 2 weeks. 58 boys and girls were hospitalised with the virus between February 21st and March 6th. In this period, there were 82 travel-related cases and 417 healthcare workers tested positive. 339 people picked up the virus in a healthcare setting. 144 more cases of COVID-19 have been reported north of the border this evening. There were two additional COVID-related deaths in Northern Ireland. The government has been told it can order Russia's COVID-19 vaccine before it's approved by the European Medicines Agency. The Professor of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, Luke O'Neill, says more vaccine supply is urgently needed. It comes as a change to Moderna's delivery schedule means there'll be a cut of 15% in the doses given to GPs in the coming weeks. The EMA is currently reviewing the safety and efficacy of Russia's Sputnik V vaccine, but Luke O'Neill doesn't believe the government need wait.
It's been approved in over 30 countries already, you see, so they've deemed it to be safe. Now, the EMA have said, wait, because certain countries, remember, in Europe could order that vaccine now. If Hungary's ordered it, for instance. You know, so Ireland could order some Sputnik V, I guess, if we wanted to. It wouldn't be against the rules in Europe to do it. But the EMA have said, no, hang on, wait till we have a good look at all the data, just in case. Yeah. But I'm pretty certain they're going to approve it.
The government is prepared to take action on insurance companies if they don't reduce costs as a result of new award guidelines. That's according to the Minister of State at the Department of Finance, Sean Fleming, after the Judicial Council agreed to revise the guidelines for personal injury awards. It's hoped this will pave the way for reduced insurance premium. Sean Fleming says he'll be meeting with the companies to ensure that they comply with that.
Come people's renewal days, we actually see the reduction in costs that are now mandatory on the judges to implement to be passed on by the insurance companies. But it's very clear, the government will review this, we'll be watching it on a month-by-month basis, and we do have authority to take further action if that's required, if we're not getting the results.
The government is being urged to act on what's been described as a major backlog in gynaecological appointments, with Donegal said to be one of the worst affected areas. More than 4,000 women nationally have been waiting 18 months or more for an appointment. 464 of those women are in Donegal. The figures were obtained through a parliamentary question by Sinn Féin TD Sorka Clark. On today's 9 till noon show, she said when it comes to gynaecological appointments, breast check and cervical check, average waiting times must be reduced as a matter of urgency.
In my own constituency of Longford Westmeath, 143 days is the average time now. That's up from 78. If you look at Letterkenny, it's 253, up from 174. These will only be reduced and these women will only be seen if there is a very clear strategy put in place to address both the breast check and the cervical screening programme and also these gynaecological services.
people are being invited to have their say on a regeneration strategy and action plan for Dunloe Town Centre. It was commissioned by Donegal County Council in November of last year and lays out proposals on how Dunloe can reach its full potential. With more detail, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The key aim is establishing a roadmap for the reinvention, reimagining and placemaking of the town centre that will help facilitate the unlocking of its unique potential, including the high-quality physical environment and exceptional cultural and historical heritage, as well as its coastal and riverside setting. The plan will be regeneration-focused, with a view to strengthening the capacity and competitiveness of the town centre and transforming the urban fabric through physical revitalisation and environmental improvements. A range of credible and deliverable actions, interventions and projects will be identified and developed to concept design stage and will be aligned to relevant funding streams to support their delivery. A public consultation is now live in tandem with the launch of the project website, futuredunloe.com, and will close on Monday the 22nd of March at 4pm.
And there's links and more details on our website, highlandradio.com. A Sinn Féin MLA is presenting a petition to the Health Minister at Stormont calling for more addiction services in Derry. The petition was set up by Tamsin White after her mother passed away in January. Foyle MLA Karen Mullen has commended Tamsin White for her courage and bravery and her campaign for detox services and increased support for people battling addiction. The petition has been signed by over 8,000 people from across the city. Ms Mullen says substance addiction is a serious problem in the North West and every avenue should be explored to deliver the best possible service for those who need it.
We have obviously over this past year been very focused in relation, and rightly so, to COVID. It was around saving lives. So some of this investment and plans were put on the shelf. We need to pick them up and get them in place. They have the support there for individuals and families who need it.
Ireland's tourism industry is to receive €55 million in funding from the European Commission. The funding is intended to address the losses caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and help keep the sector afloat during the outbreak. The grants, which will be distributed throughout the year, will see companies receive up to €1.8 million. The National Treasury Management Agency has withdrawn stockbroking firm Davies' authority to act as primary dealer in Irish government bonds with immediate effect. In a statement, the board of the NTMA says the decision was based on its assessment of the very serious findings relating to the firm that were made last week by the central bank. It follows engagement with investors in government debt over recent days. At the weekend, three senior executives resigned from Davies after the company was fined €4.1 million by the central bank for breaches of market rules. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says he notes and supports the decisions taken this evening. A man in his 30s has died in a collision in County Roscommon. The man's car collided with a lorry at 9:30 this morning on the N5 at Clun Free in Strokestown. He was pronounced dead at the scene and his body has been removed to Roscommon mortuary, where a post-mortem examination is taking place. The lorry driver, a man in his late 40s, was uninjured. The road remains closed and Gardaí are appealing for witnesses to make contact. Plans for Donegal's first crematorium have been hit with a setback after Anbour Pleanála refused an appeal by developers. The proposed crematorium would have been situated near Manor Cunningham and would serve the entire northwest. Currently, families have to travel to either Cavan or Belfast for the service. In refusing the appeal, Anbour Pleanála said the proposed change of use from commercial development to a crematorium and funeral home would constitute a haphazard and piecemeal development on lands more suitable for agricultural commercial development. They say the lands are unsuitable and unsympathetic for the use of the subject site as a crematorium and funeral home. That's something local councillor Paul Canning agrees with.
That is not the location for a crematorium. Now, don't get me wrong, the principle of a crematorium is 100% right, but not at that location. You have a complete agricultural backdrop out there at Monclink. Also, there's a stockyard track out there. And people in general, whenever you have a funeral or a wake out in the countryside, the local farmer, stops all work. If you introduce a crematorium out there and you have people coming and going every day of the week, the farmer will never get any work done. So it's not the location for a crematorium, in my opinion.
Is it thought then a more urban area would be more suitable?
A more urban area or a more tranquil area, you know, where you have location of churches and chapels there that are in certain areas that are sensitive to agricultural work, but they're not sensitive to the likes of a crematorium or any of that, your churches and your chapels. The situation within this country, we actually don't have guidelines for crematorium, and all of our decisions are based on UK guidelines.
But no one can dispute that such a facility is very much needed for the North West region.
You're 100% right, Catherine. The situation with it, I think we have only two crematoriums here in the north. You have one in Belfast and you have one in Cavan. So we do need a crematorium, but certainly not at this location, and certainly not in a location where there is high agricultural activity.
And that was Councillor Paul Canning there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. The Higher Education Minister says access to third level should be an extension of the regular school system. Minister Simon Harris is rejecting the idea of student loans being used as a means of financing the sector. His department launched a three-year plan that in part aims to resolve ongoing underfunding of third level. Minister Harris says reports due in the summer will determine what direction that takes.
It's my own view that undergraduate education should now be seen as a natural extension of our education system in Ireland. When they introduced free second level education in our country, they were told they were mad. They were advised against it by their officials. It turned out to be one of the most transformational things that ever took place in our country.
The public consultation is underway into three major road developments in Donegal under the 10T programme. The consultation concentrates on the redrawing and amendment of the county development plan to take the preferred route corridors into consideration and protect them in the development plan. The three projects are the Twin Towns Bypass and the roads linking Letterkenny to Manorcunningham and on to Lifford, Strabane and the A5. Those affected have until April 9th to make their submissions. The Cathaoirleach of Letterkenny and Milford Municipal District, Councillor Donal Coyle, is urging people to do so.
There's also included in that an environmental report, a natural impact report and a strategic flood risk assessment report. And introductory documents and large-scale mapping booklet as well. This is all available to the public. Even hard copies are available from the County Council in Lifford. And I'll be suggesting that people should, insofar as they can, go through these documents and send in written submissions or observations before the 9th of April.
And with three such major projects in the county, I'm sure there will be a significant amount of people potentially affected by this. Very important that they do have their say now.
Well, like this is an opportunity for people to make submissions and observations. As it goes, look, at there are four categories of people that I can see that are going to be affected. First of all, they're the people whose homes are going to be demolished. You then have the farmers who are going to be losing large tracts of land. But you also then have the people who are living who will be living on the edge of a four-lane carriageway. And this is going to impact very, very much on these people.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
16 minutes past five, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donald. We're going to start with cross-channel soccer. Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel says his players will be well prepared for tonight's Premier League game at home to Everton. Chelsea remain unbeaten under their new manager and extended that run with a win away to Liverpool last week. It's fourth against fifth at Stamford Bridge, so Tuchel knows exactly what to expect.
Very strong squad, very, very physical, full of talent, strong strikers, dangerous number 10 with James. Strong, experienced players, super strong manager at the sideline, Carlo, who knows how to keep a momentum going, how to keep the flow going. And it's good that we have a next big, big match because that drives us. And then it's a very natural process to be at our top level again.
Well, Republic of Ireland captain Seamus Coleman will not be part of the Everton squad for that game tonight. It was reported earlier today that he was due to have a late fitness test this afternoon ahead of the clash at Stamford Bridge. But following the team announcement before the 6 o'clock kickoff, Coleman has not been included in that list. He's missed the last couple of games due to a minor injury. Coleman's manager Carlo Ancelotti says his team have 12 more tests to overcome if they are to seal a place in the top four. Ancelotti admits keeping that run going won't be easy.
I think that we can compete against Chelsea will be difficult, we know, but because Chelsea is a fantastic team, but we have 12 tests until the end of the season. This is the first one against Chelsea that is fighting for that position, but there are a lot of teams involved there and a lot of strong team.
There's another game taking place tonight. Kicks off at 8 o'clock. West Ham will move back into the top five if they win at home to Leeds United. The Republic of Ireland squad are facing two away trips this month. It's been decided to swap their home and away friendly games with Qatar. The 2022 World Cup hosts were placed in Ireland's qualifying Group A for friendlies with each of the sides. The Gulf State will be based in the Hungarian city of Debrecen, meaning Stephen Kenny's side must travel there for a game on March 30th. Ireland's campaign opens away to Serbia on March 24th before Luxembourg visit Dublin 3 days later. In Scotland, Rangers say they will continue to maintain a cohesive message on safety advice after thousands of fans broke lockdown rules to celebrate their title triumph. Huge crowds gathered at Ibrox and in Glasgow St George's Square after they were crowned Premiership champions yesterday. Scotland's Deputy First Minister John Swinney says the actions of some supporters risk the plans to ease restrictions in the country. Micheál Nochtin is starting his first week as the new president of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. Micheál is the 13th different president of the LGFA since its inception in 1974 and only the second from Ulster. He will now preside for the next 4 years and lead the LGFA into its 50th year in existence in 2024. Speaking on the 9 till noon show this morning, Micheál says he wants to continue building the relationship between the ladies and men's associations.
We have come huge strides in the last 20 years as an association. But basically, you know, in 2018, we signed a memorandum of understanding between the GEA and Camogie. And basically, I want to build on this collaboration into the future and build stronger links with all the associations. But basically, what we've seen at national level, Greg, is basically like last year in 2020, at the start of the year, we've seen Donegal ladies playing before the Donegal's men in the National League in Croke Park. So basically, I want to see the continuation of this. More basically visible of our game, and that means more coverage of our game, but also basically see at county and see it at club level. And basically what I will be looking for basically down the line is basically on, you know, county final day, that basically you have the ladies county final and you have the men's county final on the one venue.
To rugby, Keith Earls has signed a new 1 year central contract with the IRFU. The 33-year-old will remain with Munster until at least the end of the season. Earls is Ireland's second top try scorer of all time and the fourth player over 30 in the last week to gain a new central contract. Meanwhile, Jacob Stockdale could make his first appearance in this season's Six Nations on Sunday. The Ulster back has now been recalled to Andy Farrell's squad, having missed the first three rounds through injury. Stockdale replaces Shane Daly ahead of the game away to Scotland. Meanwhile, Josh van der Flair must complete a return to play protocol this week. And Scotland have handed a first senior call-up to American-born Rufus McLean, who's included in the 34-man squad for the game with the Irish. Exeter's Sam Skinner and Edinburgh's Nick Hine have also been recalled by head coach Gregory Townsend. Mark English will turn his attention to qualifying for the Tokyo Olympics this summer. The Fin Valley man missed out on the final of the 800 metres at the European Indoor Athletics Championships in Poland at the weekend. Mark cited fatigue as the reason for not getting through the semi. He hopes to hit the automatic qualifying standard of 145.20. Patsy McGonigal says Mark will be in a good position to qualify for the Games.
Mark is a work in progress towards the Olympic Games and qualification for the Olympic Games. And this season, as he himself said afterwards, this season's all going to be about qualifying for the Olympic Games and then, you know, really putting in the performance when he gets there, really.
Is there much pressure on his shoulders to get there? He did talk about that he wanted to hit the automatic qualification time for it, Patsy. Is he maybe heaping too much pressure on himself trying to achieve that?
No, well, he knows himself what he has to do and he knows he needs to get into fast races.
And, you know, his planning after Easter and so on beyond that is geared towards athletics full stop, you know, completely and absolutely. And he knows he needs to get into races May, June, and you know that'll be set up for him and sorted for him, and he will get that, and his agent will sort that out. So, you know, the opportunity will be there for him. So he will take that opportunity, and he has the ability to make the standard, and, you know, that's what he's got to believe, and he does believe it, and, you know, he just has to move it. There's no point in panicking. There's no point in putting pressure on yourself. I think, quite honestly, at this moment in the timeline towards the Olympics, he's in great shape. He's in a very good training group. He's very positive, and he's going to be in a very good position as a full-time athlete now beyond this period. So let's just watch that space.
Finally, reigning Motorsport Ireland Billy Coleman Award winner Josh McAuley has been selected by Hyundai Motorsport Customer Racing to become a member of the world-famous Junior Driver Initiative in 2021. The 21-year-old from Kilrain, County Derry, piloted a Hyundai i20R5 throughout the 2020 season, where he secured impressive results across Europe. McAuley will become one of six drivers chosen. That's your sport for today here in Highland. I'll be back with more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed. Oisin, a Donegal councillor, is urging those responsible for weekend vandalism on a community walkway in Kilmacrenan to stop. The vandalism was discovered on Sunday morning on the path to Kilmacrenan Park. A fence had been deliberately broken and wood discarded into the trees. It's believed it happened at some point between noon on Friday and early on Saturday morning. Councillor John O'Donnell says this is just the latest in a string of incidents. He says it's very disappointing.
We built a new playground and football pitch and all in Kilmacrenan, down at a new development just on the outskirts of the village, and we have created a new pathway and linkway to the village, a new walkway, and unfortunately some vandals broke a number of the fencing reels on the fencing at the weekend.
And we do understand that this is only the latest in a spate of similar instances in the village.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a number of months ago as well we experienced the of vandals as well, breaking covers. We put covers around lights, and they broke a number of lights as well, so that it lights up the little trail at night. And I suppose this is a facility that's been used by a lot of people when they come home from work and all in the evening time. So it's very, very disappointing, I suppose, that this is happening. And we're just pleading with whoever's carrying out these actions to please stop, because there's an awful lot of money invested by the local community.
Weather forecast on this Monday evening, and Met Air and tell us it'll stay cloudy with limited bright spells, winds continuing light south to southwest in direction, staying cloudy tonight with occasional outbreaks of light rain and drizzle, clearing in most places by morning with lowest overnight temperatures 3 to 5 degrees Celsius, patches of mist or fog in light to moderate south to southwest winds. It'll be generally dry but dull to start tomorrow, but persistent rain and drizzle will spread from the west through the afternoon and evening. The rain heavy at times, bringing windier conditions. Winds increasing fresh to strong by afternoon, nearing gale force in coastal areas. Highest temperatures tomorrow, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius. Main stories in brief, and all primary school students and fifth years will return to their classrooms next Monday as planned. The Department of Education has written to schools this afternoon confirming the next phase of reopening will go ahead. Meanwhile, it was confirmed that 1,844 children tested positive for COVID-19 in the space of the 2 weeks up to March the 6th. Over that period, there were 82 travel-related cases, 417 healthcare workers tested positive, and 339 people picked up the virus in a healthcare setting. 144 more cases, meanwhile, of COVID-19 reported today north of the border. And the government's being urged to take action on insurance companies if they don't reduce costs as a result of new award guidelines. The junior minister says that is what they will do, and they have the power to do so. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Monday evening, the 8th of March. The death has taken place of Bridget McGlinchey, Main Street, Glenties. Her remains will repose in St Connell's Church, Glenties, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed at churchservices.tv/Glenties. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Glenties Daycare Centre, care of James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Molly O'Donnell, Mount Marion, Milford. Her remains will repose at her home. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Peter's Church, Milford, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Milford. The death has taken place in Glasgow of Deirdre Doherty, Naoimh McDyre, Sandfield Ardra. A private cremation will take place at Lakelands Crematorium in Cavan in the coming days. A memorial service will be held in St Connell's Church, Kilcluny, when restrictions have lessened. The death has taken place of Kieran Barr, 10 Ivymead Close, formerly of Strabham. House private, please. Funeral restricted to family. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Waterside Parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Foyle Hospice. The death has taken place of Frank Phil Roosen, Strand Road, Maharagallan, Gwydor. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, tomorrow at 11, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Due to current government and HSE restrictions, wake, funeral and burial are private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary can be viewed tonight on the Proiste Gwydor Facebook page at 7:30. Phil's funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page tomorrow at 11. The death has taken place of Willie McCleary, Herbal Shinney, Milford. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass in St Peter's Church, Milford at 1 tomorrow afternoon, followed by burial in Milford Cemetery. In accordance with current government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family only, please, with a limit of 10 people permitted in the church. The Requiem Mass will be live streamed on churchservices.tv/Milford. The death has taken place of Billy Farron, Willie, Glen Tushkert, Glen Gad, Mallon. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ahiclay, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. If desired, donations in lieu to the Carndonagh Community Hospital Hospice Fund, care of any family member. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house and funeral are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted.